Look, I don't think I'm allowed to panic. Still a 6-game lead, but it is dwindling. We ask you guys if you are panicking. 248-539-9797. John, our Cleveland station texted a guy that does afternoons, Nick Wilson. I just said, what's the pulse in Cleveland with your baseball team? And this is what he told me. The fans are back in. They've gone from frustration with the team doing nothing on last year's ALCS to embracing the underdog role. Easy remaining schedule, rotation surging, offense is less dependent on Jose Ramirez. And then he follows it up with a question. Are you guys panicking? And I said, I would say we're on the edge of panic collectively. He said a 6-game lead with 50 to go is still big.
It is still big. And it's, you are, we're talking about this as I'm sure they were in Minnesota last year. Now, there was probably a little bit more panic because they didn't have the same team that we have right now.
You still have Skubal as a stopper every fifth day. They need him on Friday.
But this on the heels of what the Tigers did last year. Yeah. You need two teams to perform at the end of the year the way that they have it all season long.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit more prolonged because this all started at the beginning of the All-Star break, and we thought we had gotten past it. When they were able to win four in a row, they finished the series against Toronto with a win. They swept Arizona, and so you're like, okay, well, that this stops the bleeding. And so far, they're 2-4 since that run, that 4-game run.
Tech says, panic in Detroit for sure. We're cooked. I watch about every game. Losing plays, bad games all around. That's Mark in Royal Oak.
But I think you got to define panic. Is panic we don't win the division? Or is panic you don't win a game in the postseason? Or even a series in the postseason, because you could think you're going to win the Skubal start.
Yeah, look, they didn't do enough at the deadline. I don't think they're a serious World Series contender. They didn't conduct themselves as such. From that standpoint, sure, I'm panicked that they're going to waste what was a great first half of the season and they won't contend for a World Series. I'm not panicking about losing this division. And that doesn't mean I'm blind to what's going on. We gave people the numbers. They've dropped 6 of the last 7 series. Since July 1, Javi Baez has turned into a pumpkin. Riley Green's in a coma. These were all stars that you're not even getting like replacement level production out of. I mean, Javi Baez is hitting sub 200. Yeah. Riley Green's hitting sub 200, and there's no power. Their OPSs start with 500 in the case of Javi Baez. You got the catcher setting up in the other batter's box, and he's swinging again. So I see it. I understand that.
Hey, just another thing here, too. This is the first time that they've faced adversity or doubt in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, and who knows where their minds were at before that. Very young team, fragile. Well,
if you're connecting this to that 12 of 13 run that they had, including the All-Star break.
Yeah, no, for the first time, they're facing significant consequences for playing poor over a long period of time. This has not happened to this group of players in a calendar year. Because I would argue last year in the playoffs, they knew they were playing gravy, and they knew they took it to 5. You know, their best pitcher on the mound got beat. And I think it all was just kind of like, this is the first time they're really in a heap of trouble. And I would equate it to, you guys remember the year the Lions went to the NFC Championship game? Remember the loss in Chicago? And Dan Campbell came out and kind of was a little frantic and a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
I think AJ kind of did that a little bit yesterday with his comments. Maybe not to the Campbell level because they're different people.
Right. AJ,
I think, calculated and pushed a button with his comments yesterday.
Well, he said with Riley Green, like, he's swinging for the fences. It doesn't have to be this way. I didn't think it'd go on this long. And then Riley struck out 3 times yesterday. They didn't respond to his urgency, but it needs to be there.
I mean, the thing is that this swing of his, all the pitchers know he's swinging that way. Yeah. Like, they're getting scouted, you know?
On the panic subject, Tech says the lead will be gone in the next 2 weeks. Book it. That's before we even get to Labor Day. Texter says, choke incoming. Thanks for nothing. Harris, when will you guys be... Why are you guys so scared to admit that this is the same team before the run they went on last year? There's nothing special about them minus Skubal. They're a bunch of average players. Hans the Uber driver. average should still get this division done. I know that doesn't do any good for anybody if they fizzle out, but those are two different conversations.
Yeah.
The Cookies curse, the guarantee. Now the Tigers aren't going to even make the playoffs, just like the Wings fell apart. Guardians will win the division. I swear Jimmy Powers needs to seriously consider removing Cookies from the air, declaring the Lions would win by double digits in the playoffs, and then declaring the Tigers clinched this division, Jeff in South Lyon.
I mean, do you not learn?
It's a good question, John. Do I not learn? I did get it right with the 15-win Express last year with the Lions. I didn't derail their 15-win season.
Yeah, but you didn't jump on until they had like 12 wins.
Minor details, John.
Perfect song for us to start playing is, or it's group, whatever, Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, we could start mixing them in the rejoins, Greg. I know you'll be all over it. Let's get. I know. Mike, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, Cookies.
What's
Go
up?
Go Blue, John.
Go Blue.
Hey, guys, so to me, listen, John is obviously being level-headed, as he should be. He's a player. He's got his experience. And that's the way to get out of a funk. But for us fans, and honestly, morale-wise around the team, forget the winning the division. To us, like, winning the division really didn't mean much. After seeing that first half of the season and how they were leading the major leagues in wins and being the best team in baseball, you needed to support your team a little bit. And Scott Harris did not do that. You have to believe in your players. Sometimes you have to give them a gift when they gifted you with the best season or the start of the season that maybe this team has ever had. So what did he do? He didn't give them any real players. We're banking on, Javier Baez and Torkelson, right? Like, you went into the season thinking these guys are not going to even be contributors. And next thing you know, now you're banking your whole season on them. Matt Vierling is supposed to be the next coming of Barry Bonds, supposedly. Like, guys, come on, man. Like, this is what pissed us off when he didn't do those trades at the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
And this is where I go back to Dave Dombrowski. You know, everybody wants to talk prospects, and I love you, Scott Harris. You might have a point. Maybe a few of these guys are legitimate prospects, but who are they? Identify them, protect them, and trade the rest for some players. You know, for every time somebody dogs Dave Dombrowski, I want them to name one player he traded away that ended up like coming back and biting us in the behind. Is it Andrew Miller? Because to me, he's just a glorified, eighth inning guy. Who, Cameron Maven, who is supposed to be the next like great thing? No, we got Miguel Cabrera out of it. So at this point, you look at his team and you're like, okay, I got Scooble. Who else do I have behind him? So you're literally banking on, Flaherty getting fixed. He hasn't been fixed all year.
Right.
Oh, we're supposed to have Reese Olsen. He hasn't been right since last year. Jackson Job is out. Who else do we have? So then did you provide us a second arm, to take us into that, at least the ALCS? That's what you did last year. You almost made it to the ALCS.
Right.
The question becomes then, did we do enough? We did not do enough.
No, we didn't.
And then you're dogging us. And nor we're dogging this team. No, we should be dogging the management because they didn't believe in this team. And or when they saw him scuffling at the All-Star team, they didn't give him a player or somebody of significance that can carry this team and maybe allow them to breathe a little bit,
Mike,
so they can get back on track.
I think what we're talking about here is you dropped 12 of 13 and management didn't take that seriously enough. And if they miss the playoffs entirely, it rests squarely on their shoulders. I know, John, you'll always say that the players got to play too, but like they didn't do anything to help these guys out who did start the season as robust as they did.
They didn't do anything to help the players out in regards to adding to the lineup, but the players are underperforming now where they were earlier. So who are the players? I think that's maybe the better question. Who are these guys? Who are the individuals? Because Torque he's actually been relatively good the last 10 games. And Colt Keith has been relatively good. Mm-hmm. The guys that haven't been are Javi, Vierling, Green. And for some of that time, you didn't have Karp. Now that he's back, he's been pretty good.
He has been incredibly productive.
You do have some holes in the lineup, and you do have some guys that are going back to what they were before they went on the run at the end of last season.
John in Livonia, good morning. You're on 97.1.
So, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's kind of...
Hey, John, you're on the radio. John! Okay. Let's go to a different John.
Loaded with Johns today.
I know. I can't get away from him.
In St. Clair Shores.
Hey, John, what's up?
John, how you doing? Sorry, we were talking to a different John.
Yeah. No, I think it's bad management, A.J. Hinch. When a pitcher's doing well, a Hinch should leave him in until he's not doing well. And that's the biggest fault. Lee was striking out guys, and he yanked them. And he put, you know, the bullpen isn't worth a darn. But the bullpen lost the game for him. And that goes on time and time again. That's the problem right there.
Well, yeah, if you're getting good pitching from your starting pitching, but for the example of the last two games, you haven't been getting good starting pitching. I mean, Jack Flaherty yesterday, 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings. And then, he had 4 innings and he had given up 4. 4 of them were earned.
Yeah, well, that you're right. That was off.
I think you have a point, though, because if we don't trust this bullpen, and it's been bad for a couple months now, when you do have a Skubal rolling and he's at 96 pitches, let him start the next inning.
Yeah.
I mean, the alternative is you waste a Skubal start, and those are the things that we're counting on to snap any skid, right? Like Friday night, Skubal's going to take the mound. He gives you a great chance to beat the Angels, calm people down. If he's at 96 pitches and he's only given up 1 run and the 7th inning is rolling around, keep the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
The counter to this, just what I would push back on that call, is if we are going to put our starting pitchers out there until they are no longer effective, we're going to have to wait until they're no longer effective. And then you know what call we're getting then.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You left them in too long.
Yeah. And when they're no longer effective, they give up a homer, a double, extra base hit. Now you're in a squirrely spot for a bullpen that we don't trust. It's 97-1.